Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Leah. Hey, Leah.
Hi.
And Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Heather. Hey, Heather.
Hello.
Michael says I'm making his life more difficult because there are now five of us.
You're welcome, Michael.
I know, right?
Sorry, Mike.
We got to keep you on your toes, Mike Burrier.
But we all needed to do this to talk about this book, though, don't you think?
Yeah.
I agree.
We all needed to be here to talk about this one in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this is the first one of July. You can find the list of all the books we're reading for July and now for August available on our website. But for this book club style discussion, we're diving in to discuss When I Had You by S.L. Scott. Okay, of us sitting here, how many of us was this our first S.L. Scott book?
Me.
Me.
Oh, awesome. Oh,
all of us.
All of us. So she is new to us author. It doesn't happen very often that at least one of us hasn't read something.
It doesn't. Mark this down in the record books.
Right?
No kidding.
Take notes. Okay. So who has their doc open? Does anybody have their doc?
I do. I can read
Heather,
it.
Heather, you got to do it all the time. Let Heather do it now.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Heather, tell us all the things we need to know about this book.
Okay. First, the release date was May 1st, 2024. The tropes are sports romance, race car, single dad, forbidden, like boss employee, close proximity, grumpy sunshine. Anything else?
No, I think it's billionaire romance because she technically is a billionaire.
It's hidden too because nobody knows that they're dating.
Like secret relationship kind of thing?
Yeah. Like. Okay. Because they were outed, but then, as they were seeing each other, nobody knew about it.
Right.
And it's not really a Hollywood norm because they're both famous.
Right. Yeah.
So famous.
Yeah, kind of Hollywood or celebrity.
Celebrity.
Like, they're celebrity in their own rights, right?
Yeah. Okay, keep going, Heather.
It's a standalone. It is dual first person. Put out percentage or pop is 48. I had 50, so that's okay. 48, between 48 and 50, same difference, right?
Yeah.
The audiobook narrators were CJ Bloom and Sebastian York.
Did you do the audio, Heather?
Yes.
Same. And it didn't need sped up. This is the first audio that I've done for Sip and Discuss that I didn't have to speed it up. This was music.
I like their voices together. They blend very well together.
I would agree. They do a really great job together. Third act breakup, yes. It is available on Kindle Unlimited and Audible.
Okay. So we said the audiobook was Sebastian York and CJ Bloom. And real quick, the performance on this one was phenomenal. This is the first audiobook I've listened to in a little bit that there weren't audio quality issues. Like there weren't change in volumes. There weren't any missteps or I couldn't hear any clicking or anything. It was a very well done audiobook.
I would agree.
And plus it was the unicorn, Sebastian York.
I really CJ Bloom too. Personally, I didn't listen to the audiobook, but I really enjoy listening to her.
They do a really great job together.
So we recently learned, and this is very interesting, that narrator Sebastian York does not narrate anyone under the age of 30. If the character is supposed to be under 30, he is not comfortable narrating them anymore because obviously he's a little bit older. He's been around a minute. And that made me realize that Cash is over 30.
He's 35.
36. 35.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she's 26.
Oh, yeah. So age gap. We left age gap off the list of tropes.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
I'll put it on there.
He likes
it. It doesn't feel like an age gap, though.
Yeah, it's not important to the story for them. No.
And it didn't feel icky.
No.
Well, but it didn't feel maturity-wise, they were in the same level. I didn't feel there was any differential to the fact that there was an age difference. Sometimes 10 years can seem a lot, but also since they were older, it didn't feel age gappy.
Yeah. Well, okay, so let's talk. Let's start with first our hero, Cash Riot. He is dubbed the bad boy of racing, so he's now trying to. He got fired from his past car company that he raced for. The Westcotts have rehired him, or have hired him
team.
For their team. Right? Yeah, to lead their team. And he is like trying to reform.
Yeah, I think he was like a really big hothead. It sounds like.
Yeah, I think
he's just trying to stay out of trouble.
Yeah. Well, and like he talks about his past, like how he, when he was with his ex, like they drank a lot, they smoked a lot, like he like partied a lot and was like, the news was fairly negative. And so like, he doesn't want that persona to be like what people see anymore. And he actually hasn't been like that in the past few years, but it's like, he's so stuck with that name that he really is trying to like turn the tables for like his persona.
Yeah. Okay, so he's a race car driver. Here is a point of contention, and I have to be very honest. You know, we often talk about sports romance and if the sport in the romance is correct. I am not a fan of racing. Like, I don't know much. Like, I know more about hockey than I do about racing.
Which is not saying a lot.
That's not really
saying a lot. I know more about football than I know about racing. And I think
Everything about, well, stock car racing, but I know.
Which is very different than what, like, the type of racing he is doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's very vague in her detail.
But we did some research.
We do not know what kind of racing this is actually is because they refer to it as P1 racing. We did some searching. I found out that P1 racing is actually Principle One Racing. It refers to a team management style and role within Formula One racing, but not a specific type of racing. F1 team principals are responsible for overseeing operation, strategy, and performance of their prospective teams. But if you just Google, what does P1 racing mean in racing? It tells you that's pole position.
Yep.
But Leah. Yes.
But I Googled P1 racing and it's boats.
Oh,
yeah. It's like a new type, like new style that is coming
forth. People race.
It's boats. So there's some
crazy
contention and confusion about.
Well, yeah, I think she just calls it something else so she didn't have to get the details exactly right.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Right. Because, like, like when they talk about the car, it's just worth millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. It's like there's no like talk about like whether it's open wheel or stock car.
Yeah, there wasn't specifics. But I will say when she talked about the training, like how they're not allowed to train in the car, that is true. They do actually train on simulators more often than they do in a car, especially Formula One drivers. Because I did Google that one too. Because I was curious.
I also like how, I mean, he's sort of treated, because, I mean, he's an athlete in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. So I really like how he was sort of treated like an athlete. Like, you know, his meal plan, his exercise, like all the, like his regimen.
Well, that is actually reality.
Yeah, it's hardcore because they get some G-forces. They're not like driving around with AC cranked up.
They're in huge fire suits.
Yeah.
Like every bit of weight matters. 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, the weight, like the weighing and like that, all that stuff. Like that's, so she did get some right, but some maybe not. Or maybe it's just us.
Well, and so there's some other little pieces of it. Like Formula One is actually raced in Austin, Texas, not Dallas. We don't know the type of racing. We don't know exactly what P1 is referring to. It could be MLP1, which is the endurance styled racing of open wheeled, I believe. So not open wheel. I don't know. I know
nothing. I think she's just trying to make it in a race world and make it as, you know, like.
But this isn't the first book in her race world because. So each of these books is standalone, but she writes in a world because the brothers that are coupled, I think there's two brothers that are a couple now, all three.
All no, four all or four three, have, three, yeah. three. Yeah.
There's only three brothers, but all three of them are like have relationships.
So there's another book. So there are those other books that take place in this world. So yes. I think it's a little odd that she's not really clear on the racing. If you're gonna,
but they're owners though; they're not drivers.
Yeah, so, right. So it would be a different aspect, and like, yeah. I mean, I'd give it to her because then you can do whatever you want. Like they can go, yeah, they can go have a race in Antarctica. Like,
I mean, he does travel to like places that they do have like F1 races too. Yeah, so
Formula One goes all over the place.
Yeah. So I mean, there's you have to kind of take it with a open mind a little bit.
So I think there's four books total in this Westcott like racing series.
Yeah.
And the the covers look very similar.
Stacy says, I know the one is a lawyer. Technically.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Oh yeah, that's.
But he's like I did like their names though, and how they're all maritime names.
They're all So our heroine's name, she is Marina Westcott. Mm-hmm.
Except for Noah, poor Noah.
Noah, he doesn't have a water name. It's a stretch.
It's a stretch.
And I liked in the little bit of the epilogue in the end where she's like needling at him about it.
Oh, but they're also gonna name their baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do like though, like where she's like, Noah, like it fits him. Like had he had a maritime name, it probably wouldn't have fit him as well. I am like intrigued by the brothers and the relationships that like with the sister-in-laws that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Because they seem very like intense in their love.
I will say this was a very character-driven romance. And I did like that because I do think that we definitely got Cash's emotions. I wanted more emotions from Marina.
Yeah.
I felt like there were times that I would have liked some introspect from her. Or a conversation more heart to heart with Poppy, the best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree.
But we are getting a Poppy book, so.
Yeah, that's the next book. It comes out next month.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Heather's like, tell me more.
He's the guy, I think it's with the guy that she meets.
It's the rock, like
the
star.
That's going to be rock star.
But it's amnesia too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Which I'm always intrigued by an amnesia book because you never, like, it's hard to do
it
well.
It is hard.
And so like, I've read a couple and I'm like, oh man, this one did not work. But I've read a couple where I'm like, ooh, I really like the way they did this here.
I do think Marina was a very smart character. Like, I liked her. I didn't have any moments where I'm like, oh God, she's a little too stupid to live. However, because I started the book first, which is what typically happens around here. And I actually had a moment of panic after I read the first two chapters. I was like, this dude's an asshole. Jenny and Amanda are not going to like this. Like, I felt you needed content trigger warnings for Cash alone because I'm like, oh, he's an ass. And
but she's like, Leah, you're going to love him.
Yeah. I mean, Leah got the text of, oh my God, you're going to love him. He's your kind of hero.
But I got the warning text.
But I will say, like, Cash's assholeness, it was all situational. Like, I think with him, like, he's just been in this bubble almost where people, like, want something from him. And he's been burned so bad that he doesn't want to people anymore. And he wants to just protect those who are, like, who he cares about. And so it's like, he just plays the asshole card.
I was busy with my highlighting tool in the old Kindle, and I just feel like this really needs to be read out loud. I'm the bad boy every good girl wants to take for a spin. I have money, looks, and I don't have their parents' approval. I'm a wet dream for every goody two-shoes. I was like, oh my God, what an arrogant jerk.
Yeah, he does not lack for ego.
That was in my notes. Arrogance, arrogance.
But also the fact, like, when they meet, like he has never met her. Like her family owns the racing like company. She's on her phone. He basically body checks her because she's not looking at him. And he's pissed off because his like ego is showing. It gets dinged that how dare this woman be in here and not pay attention to me.
Well, and he breaks her phone.
He breaks her phone. But
and
she,
it comes back to bite him. Aggressively, which is amazing.
But she lets loose. And then when the brother walks in, he's like, oh, have you met our sister? And he's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. She's an owner. Yeah.
It's like, karma's a bitch, dude.
I do have to say that, like, Marina, while I think she lacked depth, she wasn't too stupid to live. And she made some smart choices.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and she didn't let Cash get away with things either, right? Like that first dinner where he shows up and sits down next to her, she's just like slinging it at him.
Mm-hmm. I think part of that, though, is she's sheltered in a sense where her brothers were like always protecting her. And so like now that she is out like on her own and has to stand on her own 2 feet without them hovering, like she has really grown a backbone for herself. Like she doesn't use it so much with her family until like farther into the story, but like she has no like qualms, like defending herself and like knowing like this is my worth. Like this is like who I am. And I'm glad that by the end of the book, like she was capable of standing up to her brothers as well.
Yeah.
Cause you don't always get that.
I do think that this would have been a better story for her if we hadn't had the boyfriend sleeping with the costumer.
Yeah.
It wasn't needed. Like they could have been paparazzi fodder just for the fact that she's a starlet and an owner and they're caught and seen together. Like, because the agent piece, the fact that she finally did stand up to the brothers, but she didn't stand up to that agent and demand she show up. And then,
until she fired her.
Yeah. And it was just, it was very
anticlimactic.
I just think if we had taken out that the boyfriend or co-star piece, I think I actually probably would have liked her better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think too, there was, because they bill it as an enemies to lovers on Amazon. And it just like, I felt like they were trying to, the author, you know, I felt like it was like almost like a forced enemies to lovers, but they weren't. So I felt like some of the back and forth was just, it wasn't needed.
The switch on enemies to lovers here just switched off. By chapter 3, they are not enemies anymore.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And I would just like, I would call that banter, right? Like, I mean, we all have those people in our lives that we talk to like that. At least I do. Maybe I'm the asshole.
I don't know. I got like 6 of you right there. I mean, I am the asshole. Well, so.
And I think that that's the thing. Like, they just have like this natural, like, competitive edge with each other almost. Like,
Yeah.
So it, Stacey says, annoyance to lovers is what it felt like to her.
That's a better way to put it. I don't like enemies to lovers, so it never even really not until I read
Unless
that.
Unless it's Mafia, then she likes enemies to lovers.
Correct. Well, that's different. That's like BNR. It's different when it's BNR.
I can't let that go, Heather.
It doesn't even count.
Okay, so, and we've talked about Cash. He was so arrogant and such a jerk. And before we started, I brought up a thought, and I'm curious what all of you think, including those in the chat or those listening. I'd love to hear your feedback. I think that it was imperative in this story that Cash be a single dad, that we get to see his softer side, his humanity with his little guy Ryan versus
Cullen.
It was Cullen. Yeah. His last name is, she called him Ryan because she got his like purposely called him something wrong. So Cullen. It's Cullen.
Okay. Sorry.
It's okay.
I don't know. I wrote down Ryan.
Man, it is sad.
I did also write down Turpity, which I do not like that name. And it was the perfect name for her.
I always Google names I can't pronounce. And I'm like, Google doesn't even recognize this. What the heck?
That's the audiobook. The audiobook saved me. It's the only reason I can say it.
Terpity.
We were supposed to hate her. That's why she has a terrible name.
It is a really horrible name. But we don't hate her by the end.
But don't you think her evolution was kind of quick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Therapy don't work like that.
Like 1 week, 2 weeks in Spain for a model shoot and a couple of phone calls to a therapist, and all of a sudden you don't hate your ex?
You're not a selfish hag anymore.
And you stop drinking. And she just stopped drinking.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it was the alcohol.
Maybe it was the alcohol.
I will say there, like, that's the thing with this book that I didn't really care for is, like, she built up this, like, idea of the character, and then it was, like, a downward slope. It's like you hit the top on the ski lift and then you just went down. It's like there was no, like, there was the build up, but then it was, you were let down with, like, the way that the characters grew.
Yeah. Okay, so back
just
to
the quickness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I think lots of things with this book were very quick. Like,
yeah.
And I will also say, and I was going to bring this up in a little bit, but I'll say it now. This writing style was a little jarring.
Well, there's no transitions. Yeah. Like, there's no natural.
So I told Leah right off. I said, listen, 1 minute they're in the car and the next minute they're in the living room. I don't know how they got out of the car. And she's like, well, it's because you're listening to the audiobook.
No, I asked you.
Maybe there's
doing
a space
the
in the book. And I'm like, I don't think so.
But there's not. Like, there's no break in the ebook. Well, because sometimes in audio, those, like, breaks in the chapters don't translate. So I asked you if you're doing the audio. And that's why I was like, oh, maybe that was the problem, but it was not, because no joke, like, they, like, were basically gonna bang out, but then they ended up sleeping together, and then she's having lunch with Poppy in the next sentence. I was like,
in across the country, like in Vancouver, from Miami to Vancouver.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Well, they went up in the elevator and then they're, like, suddenly in his room, and I didn't even know whose room they were in, because he's just on a balcony. Is there a balcony in the elevator?
Was a transition item, like a little dot in between.
But even to say, like, a couple words in front of the line, like, you know, out of the car and in the house, finally sitting in the living room. Like, I don't know, but I was like, I had to stop it and then look at my Kindle and be like, wait, I missed things.
I read a couple parts, like, two or three times. I'm like,
that's what I did.
Well, okay, and then.
I think it's a little more jarring because it's not every transition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, like, sometimes it goes really smoothly and then all of a sudden you jump.
Yeah, so it wasn't the transition chaos was not consistent.
I think the biggest one was when Poppy was like, hey, like, basically, hey, bitch, get in the car. And then we realized she's in Vancouver and not in Miami.
Which
they're far apart.
Which supposedly she got there in 3 hours because she left at 6 a.m. and then she calls him and he misses the call at 9:15. I was like, that does not happen.
It's a super fast
lane.
No,
not when you go that way.
Yeah.
I don't.
Isn't Vancouver?
Yeah,
west.
There's a lot longer flight than that.
Amber's right. It does make you feel like you missed a page or a couple paragraphs, and it, you know, you're kind of, especially jarring in the audio. Like, in the audio, you're kind of like, did I miss? What did I miss? Wait, stop.
Yeah.
And then it's still happening. Sue said she thinks, was it kind of taken out for editing? And I do not think so. I venture to guess this author might not actually use an editor. Because there were a couple moments because I was like,
I don't know. Let's look.
Like, the lack of, you know, definition on what kind of racing. Like, there were just a couple things that if you're using, you know, a dev editor or even a really quality beta reader, they would have come back and said, hey, I need more understanding or more definition on.
There's a beta reader, a copy editor, a proofreader.
Okay.
A content editor.
Really?
All those things.
And they just kind of let that go. Well, I mean, you can make all the suggestions you want, and sometimes authors just choose not to take them.
This is also true. But
okay, how did you think about Ryan? He was age 5.
Who?
Colin.
Colin. I'm going to change it.
I think he was age appropriate.
Do you think he was age appropriate?
I do.
I do.
Yeah.
Okay. So she gets points for that. Do you think that Cash's turn with how he was, like, this enemies to lovers, like, he was really kind of jerky and arrogant to her, and the next thing we know, he's making big, grand, sweeping, swoony gestures, coming to the club to get her out. He shows up at the red carpet. He shows up at her apartment in Vancouver. Like, do you feel that those were quick in his transition, his character arc? Or did it make sense the way it was plotted and paced out?
I think it was hard to tell how much they were communicating. So I feel like how much time they're on the phone every night and they're talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
How much are they talking to each other? Does that make sense? Like how
many? Yeah. Like how long are the conversations? Yeah,
and what are they talking about?
Mm-hmm. Like we miss a lot of like the nuances of how their relationship is progressing. But I think with when you see him with Cullen and how he treats Cullen and how he treats his mom, those like big moments aren't surprising because he really goes all out for the people he cares for. So I think if we had gotten more of like the text conversations, like between the two of them, like even like a couple like chapter beginnings, like just text conversations that like where it wasn't like bantery or wasn't like silly stuff, like it would have seemed more not out of character.
Because I was not completely sold on their ATA.
Yeah. But it makes sense, though, I think.
This comes down to the third act breakup. I felt like the conflict, I like a third act breakup. I want the emotions. This felt forced. Like she had to do something.
I don't think the breakup felt forced, but I think the way they came back together was not enough for me.
Weird. Yeah.
Like dude should have like apologized. Like he fucked up and like she's the one who like had to text him back. Like, yes, he texted her and she ignored it, but like he should have made the effort to like go see her.
More grand gestures. Like just showing up at her play wasn't grand enough.
No. Or and it's
running
like
down the
her...
street. Like, dude. Yeah.
That was like could that happen in Manhattan, though,
okay,
even?
It could, but it had cringy Nora Ephron 90s rom-com vibes.
Yeah.
Like, as, like, I'm picturing this, like, especially, like, at the time of day this supposedly happened, I didn't see it actually happening.
Yeah, I, like I said, it had that cringe. I like Nora Ephron movies. I like those 80s, 90s rom-coms.
I mean, who doesn't?
But this just felt cringy, like...
Yeah, I didn't feel like she should have been the one like that reached out after the breakup. Like, yes, he texted and she ignored it, but I still think he should have been the one that bridged that gap because he was an asshole in that moment, which you understood it, but at the same time, like, it was frustrating.
Amanda, did you have problems with the third act breakup? I know you're not a huge fan of them.
I didn't mind their breakup so much because, I mean, I can see after, you know, he was in the accident and, you know, he's trying to also the fact, you know, that she's a team owner and that if he tells her what's really going on, that he might lose his spot. So that felt real and accurate to me. And I could understand why he was being the way he was being and, you know, why she just wasn't going to put up with it. You know, she's at this point in her character evolution that she's just tired of putting up with that kind of stuff. But yeah, I didn't buy the way they got back together. Like you said, it just felt lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we could have had, I think that fire, the catastrophe of that crash was enough of a dramatic moment.
Yeah.
I don't know that we needed them to be separate.
Well, but even if they separated, like, and she left, but like came back the next day or something like that, because like, I mean, in those moments, like, you're going to be emotionally distraught, like, as you're dealing with, like, healing and being hovered over. I thought the timeline of the breakup was too much. It should have been just like a fight or something like that.
The fact that it was like weeks.
He recovered really damn quick.
Oh, yeah. He was like the next week, right? The next week right? He was
racing. Yeah. And it's like, if you have supposed nerve damage, you would not be allowed to be getting back in your car.
Well, I mean, it is a book. It's not real.
Yes, right? But still.
I think it just felt like everything else. It just felt very quick. Like the pacing was just like everything was happening kind of quick.
I will say the pacing of this book was quick. The reading of this book, even listening to it on regular speed, was fast. And I really didn't have any issues with that. I like that the story was enough of a story, even with the transitions, the writings, and an asshole. The pacing of this book moved really quick, and I listened to it in a day. Like, and it's usually taking me 2 to 3 days to get through a book right now. Like, I got through this one no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Heather, what were your thoughts on the third act breakup? Because I know that you aren't necessarily a huge fan of them either.
I'm not a huge fan. I did not get past the breakup because my family interrupted my reading today, which is very annoying.
Those assholes.
They were. One was gone and was supposed to be out of town and then decided to just come home and not tell anyone.
Oh, good times.
Whatever. So I'm interested to read how to finish because I'm almost to the end. I'm interested to figure out, like, because I don't like a third breakup. Yeah. Like, I don't like drama just for drama. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Update us.
Okay. Let us know.
I'll text you guys.
Okay. So, another question that I have real quick is, I read the epilogue. And again, we talked about Turpity's, her quick change over to being, you know, I don't hate you. You're a great step person in my child's life.
Yeah.
Okay, but I read the epilogue. Thoughts on the epilogue? First of all, how pregnant are you that all of a sudden your wedding dress doesn't fit? That you didn't know weeks before, that you weren't like, oh, I'm really freaking bloated. I should see a seamstress. Like, who doesn't try their wedding dress on at least the week of the wedding to make sure there's nothing major? Like, maybe you need extra boob tape or something.
Yeah, it didn't seem realistic. Because your boobs do not grow that fast, that early.
I don't know. So
okay, but did you at least try your wedding? Did you wait till the day of your wedding to put your wedding dress on after you had like had it at the final fitting?
No,
I think it's been a minute.
I don't know if I did it the week of. I mean, yeah, I think it was. It was close.
I tried it on like the week of and it was too long and I was flipping out because it was too long.
I do know the second time around, that's the only reason I knew I was pregnant was my boobs.
But that was the second time. The first time, and it's not like that.
Well,
sore the first time around.
I didn't notice the first time around. Other people did.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess it depends on, like, I took it as her, like, stomach, not like, because it was like a corset type thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't just pop.
I did, I mean, like, his does, little
but
laugh.
You have to be, like, but way later.
There would have, she would have.
Dude, I was puking 3 times a day. Nothing was growing.
I did like his line about he wasn't prepared for that night to have to undo all those buttons.
Oh, yeah. I do like how he laced it up with his racing shoe lace.
Yes.
Or sash or whatever
Stacey
it was.
Agrees.
That was cute.
She likes the ribbon being the racing laces.
Yeah. Okay. So is there anything else about When I Had You by S.L. Scott you guys want to talk about?
I did like the mom.
His mom.
Yes. Like his mom.
I agree. I really liked her too.
Like,
and
she
I actually
was a
liked
really good
her
character.
Parents, her mom.
I did too. Yes. Her parents. And that was one thing too. Like, he didn't have, like, his dad was not in the picture, but like his mom, like, yes, she struggled because she was a single mom, but she was good. Like, her family was good. Like, we didn't have, like, the ex. Honestly, the ex wasn't even that bad. She was just kind of selfish. So, like, that was one thing, too. There was no, like, horribly bad relationship trauma in this, which I liked. Especially, like, because sometimes, like, with the single parent or even, like, really any romance, like, the chances of both sides having good parents is rare.
Yeah.
Or orphan syndrome. Like, usually somebody has
somebody's been parents. Disneyed.
Yeah.
Somebody's been Disneyed.
I do like how she made us really want the brothers' books. Like, that's.
Yeah, to go back.
Yeah, I want to go back. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Aunt Poppy, like, I'm there for that.
I did love the one sister-in-law that was like, well, you're coming home a little early in last night's clothes. Like, totally calls her out.
I really like
better do a better job of sneaking around or whatever. That was. Yeah.
Well, even like the sister-in-laws, like when they were in the pool and they were talking about it, and they're like, well, maybe you were wrong too.
Yeah.
Okay. So here we go. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Oh.
Okay. We'll go to you.
Oh, thumbs up.
Heather, thumbs up, thumbs down. I would
definitely try it again.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I would say thumbs up.
Leah, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'd give it a thumbs up, like not like a high thumbs up, but I would definitely read her again to give her another.
I'm thumb sideways, like I'm not up or down, like I'm just like it was good.
I'm tilting to the top though.
Yeah, you're like
it was okay. The pacing worked for me. It was quick. I will say it wasn't.
It wasn't as good as I was expecting based on what we've like
except
heard about
it. Was better than the ones that we have been reading that are all vibes. Like at least this one had some.
There weren't vibes. Yeah.
Had some context and content that you could, some emotion that we could latch onto. And I think really it basically, because it's had a third act breakup. Had it not had a third act breakup, I probably would have been like, I'm done. but will you go back and read S.L. Scott? Just and everyone think I would give her
probably
another
give
try.
Her one more try to see if because I'm not thrilled at like the way the transitions and all that stuff worked, and it was so I didn't love her writing style in that sense, but like the verbiage itself was pretty strong and stuff like that. So
yeah, Amanda, you tried again?
Yeah, and I think mainly because it was such a quick read. That I would go back and read The Brothers, or I would read Poppy because I feel like I could get through it really quick and figure out whether or not it was for me.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Okay. If people liked When I Had You, what other books would you recommend for them to try? So, Amanda, what do you got?
The only one I had before we talked was Drake by Sawyer Bennett.
Yeah.
Because the energies
match.
Asshole.
The energies match.
Yeah. So Drake is a bigger asshole.
He is, but he's
he's delightful though.
Yeah.
Leah, what do you got? Give me one or two.
Nanny and the Hothead by Krista Sandor. He is such a dick and an asshole, and he it takes a lot for him to come back from that.
It does.
And then Catherine Cowles, we talked about Wrecked Palace. He's right up there.
Yeah. Heather, what do you got?
I don't really have. I mean, I think maybe Stone from Sawyer Bennett is a really big asshole at first.
Yeah, he's kind of an asshole.
He really takes a lot to come back to.
Well, those early books in that whole series. I mean, you get Baden and then you go into Stone and Gage is okay. And then you get to Cohen and you're like, what the hell, lady?
He's my favorite.
It's true. That series.
And then Drake. I mean, they're all assholes, but we love them all.
Was Sawyer going through something?
She might have been. Jenny, what do you recommend?
I feel like I've recommended this a lot lately, but Cambria Herbert's Gear Shark series is a racing world, and they kind of deal with the like paparazzi stuff, and so there's a lot of the same feels around that type of thing instead of somebody being an asshole.
And I do think we have an episode September-ish that we're going to give race car wrecks to, because JC Burton in her sports series has a couple race car drivers that are pretty it's pretty decent books. I had Adrift by Swati MH because he's kind of a jerk in the beginning, and it's single dad. The Tryst by Lauren Blakely, again, he's a single dad, but it's also her ex's dad. The Invitation by Vi Keelan. He's mean at that wedding reception.
Like, he's not an asshole. He is mean.
Yeah, I guess so. He is kind
of
mean.
But that had some of the same vibes. Yeah. Like, you know.
It does.
But better.
But better. To Hate Adam Connor by Ella Mays.
Yeah.
He's jerky to her.
Forbade her too.
He like tries to get her arrested.
Yeah, but she like she holds her own.
She does. She does.
She's kind of an asshole too.
Yeah.
Dr. Heartless by Jay Salmon. Again, he's kind of, I mean, they have that one night stand and then he's kind of mean to her through the second part of the book.
Dude lies to her about which twin he is too.
Love Me Today by A.L. Jackson. I think if he hadn't had Paisley as his daughter, I don't think that that book would have been, or is Paisley the heroine?
As dynamic as it
whatever was. The little girl's name is, if he hadn't had her, I think that you would have just hated him through that whole book.
And I didn't really love him for most of the book anyway. So.
Who's Your Daddy by Lauren Rowe? He's kind of a jerk. It's a neighbor situation. And The Devil in Blue Jeans by Stacey Kennedy. He's just mean to the heroine because she bought his bar that he sold by choice. Oh, well, but apparently Featherbow is on the moose, Will.
We did forget to mention that Cash says good girl several times.
He does.
So she is a good girl for him.
If you like a good girl, then you're going to like that.
Well, and Sebastian York saying good girl in my ears is, you know, just
not a terrible day.
No.
It's a hardship, right?
Might flood the basement. Ew. Hannah put that in a chat this week, and I was like, I just need to find a way to say that in something now.
Please, we need to do a bingo. We need bingo cards.
Ever say that again. Like,
oh my gosh.
It's Hannah's fault.
I believe it.
The words came out of your mouth, though. Okay.
Oh my goodness, Rebecca.
Oh, we've gone far off the rails now.
Yep.
Yeah, that's bad.
It wasn't bad.
That was bad.
She's 12.
All right. Anyway. Anyway.
Okay. So make sure you join us Sunday for our next episode. We'll be here at 9 p.m. Sunday evening. I don't remember what we're talking about, but we're talking about
where we're taking the top 20 of Amazon and giving our own ricks.
Yeah, we're gonna. That's right. We're hyping up books that we think need more hype. Or if you liked this book, read these books kind of thing. And then next Wednesday, we are back with Fake Love by Jocelyn Soto. It is a fake relationship baseball romance. Amanda, have you read this one already?
No, I was saving it until right before. So I don't forget what happens.
Well, some of them I know I made you pull quotes on and I didn't know.
No, not that one yet. I waited when I found out we were possibly going to do it for this month. I waited.
Okay. So. I have read it. Caveat, I do work with Jocelyn and I did work on this book. But yeah,
I'm excited.
I think y'all will like it. Okay. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us and talking about When I Had You by S.L. Scott.
It's always a good time.
Yeah, this is fun.
Super fun.
Until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.